Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear a single that was part of a video project that won the very first Grammy awarded to a video. That particular project spun off the model of a cable channel that would change the music business forever. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will analyze the jump blues style of a legendary artist who, prior to moving to Chicago, spent quite a lot of time in honky-tonks, dance halls, and gambling joints in West Memphis, Arkansas, and Southeast Missouri. Once he got serious about his music career, he made over 500 recordings and was ultimately given the title of Ambassador. Later, we will award a bonus hit to an album-oriented rock band that topped the Billboard Hot 100 twice with power ballads, but failed to even reach the top 40 with one of their best love songs. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will appreciate the single by one ex-Beatle that reached number 1 and knocked a single by another ex-Beatle out of the top spot in the process. But first, just as we do every week, we start with a song that at some point was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and then found a way right off the chart. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we begin with a four-man band that has been credited as a founding force behind the movement known as Yacht Rock. The name of the band, Pablo Cruz, has for years caused fans to ask the members of the band, none of whom are named Pablo, which one is Pablo? The only answer that the quartet has ever given is, quote, Pablo's the one in the middle, close quote.
Oh.
with their 1978 single that's been a week at number 40 on the Cashbox survey on the way down from its peak at number 5. That was Pablo Cruz and Love Will Find a Way. On the Billboard charts, the record peaked a notch lower at number 6, matching the Billboard peak of the band's hit What You Gonna Do from the previous year.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Several weeks ago, we played a duet called Midnight Train by Buddy Guy, featuring Johnny Lang. Well, today we have a song by Johnny Lang called Lie to Me that we think should have, at the very least, reached number 20. While this particular recording does not include any returned favors from Buddy Guy on guitar, it does include some rhythm guitar work from a guitarist that actually appeared on Midnight Train with Buddy and Johnny. And just who, other than Johnny Lang, ended up on both records? Of course, it was the ever-present Jack Holder. Here's Johnny Lang with Lie to Me. Vocals by Becca Bramlett. That was Johnny Lang and the title track to the album he recorded back in 1996, Lie to Me.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen and you're listening to Alt Universe Top 40. Now we are up to a single that really did hit the number 11 position on its way up to a peak of number 8 in the United States. According to Airplay reports, three of the American radio stations that gave this record some very important early support were WEZB in New Orleans, KOFM, Oklahoma City, and WBBQ, Augusta, Georgia. Thanks to radio support, this release maintained a chart life of 43 weeks, which, at the time, was a record number of consecutive weeks on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. Even with that record-setting run in America, the record was a bigger success elsewhere, having reached number one in Australia, Belgium, Canada, South Africa, West Germany, and the UK. Here is the British duo of Mark Almond and David Bell, collectively known as Soft Cell.
Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away from the pain you drive into the heart of me. The love we share seems to go nowhere, and I've lost my light, for I toss and turn, I can't sleep at night. Once I ran to you,
number 11, that was Soft Cell with Tainted Love, a song originally recorded by Gloria Jones, a vocalist who, as a teen, was in a gospel group with Billy Preston and later joined the glam rock act T-Rex.
Number 10.
Now we are up to a song at number 10 that was a key component in the video that won the very first Grammy awarded to a video, Elephant Parts. When Elephant Parts was released, Billboard magazine's review called it, quote, "the cleverest exercise in original video programming to date," close quote. And, in addition to being a critical success, it was also a commercial success, being the third best-selling video during its release year, behind only Star Wars and Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Two projects ultimately spun off of this video as well. One was Pop Clips, originally programmed by Nickelodeon, which was owned by Warner Brothers. Pop Clips was the model from which MTV developed. The other project that came from Elephant Parts was the NBC variety show Television Parts, which provided early exposure for a couple of comedians that would go on to huge superstardom on television, Jay Leno and Jerry Seinfeld. Also, one of the feature pieces in Television Parts was Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy. NBC moved that bit from Television Parts to Saturday Night Live. However, let's not forget the actual record at number 10. Upon its release, the album containing this track received major support from heavyweight stations such as KLOL in Houston and WSHE in Miami. The Record World review of that album stated that the artist behind it was, quote, "one of the few to successfully rise above a teen idol image. This new album is a superior effort, displaying his somewhat esoteric musical ideas with a flourish," close quote. Who was it receiving all that praise from both Billboard and Record World? Michael Nesmith.
This night is magic, I can tell by. You know I love you. stay side by side.
The song that won a Grammy in video form, that was Michael Nesmith and Magic. Incidentally, while Nesmith was the producer of that record, the engineering was handled by a young studio whiz named Bill Bottrell, who several years later would win a Record of the Year Grammy for All I Wanna Do, a single that he produced for and co-wrote with Sheryl Crow.
Number nine.
Well, we just heard the song Magic by Michael Nesmith, which was recorded in early 1979. Now let's go back to 1975 and hear another song called Magic, which was the number nine single in the United States during the last week of June, 44 years ago. While it would ultimately rise to number five on both the Cashbox and Billboard charts in the United States, this catchy selection hit number one in Canada. The act that recorded this Magic was the Scottish pop rock band Pilot, a group that was produced by Alan Parsons. In fact, Alan liked this band so much that they basically became the backbone of the Alan Parsons Project. As we mentioned a couple of months back, a number of different vocalists were used to handle the requirements of various recordings that Alan Parsons produced. But beginning with the very first Alan Parsons Project album, all the members of Pilot, bassist David Payton, guitarist Ian Barnson, drummer Stuart Tosh, and keyboardist Billy Lyle, were involved. Before there was any turn of any friendly card or any eye in the sky looking at you, there was magic.
Never seen a day break, leaning on my
9 during the last week of June back in 1975. That was Pilot with Magic, a single that was produced by Alan Parsons.
Universe Top 40.
Modern and Great should have reached number 8.
Now we are up to a song that is modern and great, and it should have reached number 8. It is by the four-man rock act known as the Deadbeat Poets, a Youngstown, Ohio group featuring former members of Blue Ash, the Stiv Bators Band, Infidels, and Club Wow. This particular track was written by Terry Hartman, and he sings lead on it. From the 2010 album Circus Town, here are the Deadbeat Poets with People These Days. Number 8 with the song People These Days, that should have hit number 8 because it's modern and great. That was Terry Hartman, Frank Sechik, John Curry, and Pete Drevere, known collectively as the Deadbeat Poets.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7, and it is the brilliant jump blues classic Lonesome by the one-time session pianist for Jazz Gillum, Washboard Sam, and Sonny Boy Williamson I, Memphis Slim. John Lynn Chatman was born on September 3, 1915, in Memphis. He spent his earliest performing days in dives, pool halls, and juke joints in Memphis, West Memphis, Northeast Arkansas, and Southeast Missouri. During this period, he refined his style of jump blues, but had very little success financially and never really accomplished much. Once he moved to Chicago, though, he recorded for Bluebird Records for producer Lester Melrose, who christened him with a new name, Memphis Slim. After backing numerous recordings by other Chicago acts, Memphis Slim developed a sound for his jump blues that included saxophones, bass, drums, piano, and sometimes guitar. His tenure at Bluebird did not last, and he soon was recording for High Tone Records. At his first High Tone session, the string bass was played by Willie Dixon. It was around this time that he reworked the Pine Top Sparks composition, Every Day I Have the Blues, which has become a classic by numerous other artists, all of whom drew from the Memphis Slim version. After his High Tone recordings, Memphis Slim recorded for King Records in Cincinnati without a contract, and later did the same thing with Peacock Records in Houston. He also recorded for Miracle. With contractual arrangements never suiting him, Memphis Slim was happy to record on his own and then let the labels acquire the rights later. This happened several times when King Records bought all of his High Tone recordings. Chess Records then bought out his masters from his sessions at Premium Records. Finally, in 1954, he was given a regular record deal with Mercury. However, things did not go well, and the arrangement only lasted a year. He then recorded for United, but soon they cut back on their blues recordings. This led to a stint at VJ, a period that ultimately was successful for Memphis. Several of his most famous recordings came from his 1959 sessions for VJ. He also was the pianist for Willie Dixon's debut album, which was a big success. After a successful European tour with Willie Dixon, Memphis Slim decided to move to Paris and live permanently. He was a premier storyteller in Europe, appearing on television regularly. He acted in several French movies and wrote the score for a 1970 French movie. His popularity in Europe caused the U.S. Senate to award Memphis Slim with the title of Ambassador at Large of Goodwill. In 1988, Memphis Slim died of kidney failure in Paris. He was buried in Memphis and was posthumously inducted into the Memphis Music Hall of Fame, as well as the Blues Hall of Fame. Our little slice of heaven at number 7 belongs to our Ambassador at Large of Goodwill, Memphis Slim.
Lonesome, I'm just a lonesome child.
Of heaven at number 7. That was Memphis Slim with his jump blues classic, Lonesome. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Tom from Central Illinois sent us an email and stated that he really liked the instrumental from the soundtrack of the Number Station movie that we played last week. He suggests that we play more instrumentals in the future. Well, Tom, stay tuned to this program. Heidi from Germany heard us on Mixcloud. She sends us greetings and says she wishes us well. She likes to hear the different radio stations that help certain records become successful. Well, Heidi, we love going back and discovering how a particular single caught on. We are happy that you have found us, and we hope to provide you lots of airplay and chart information in the future. Ty from Millington, Tennessee, heard our 6070 broadcast on a web SDR from Europe. He enjoyed the Little Slice of Heaven segment, but wishes to correct my incorrect reading of the title of Lightnin' Hopkins' song. The correct title is Trouble in Mind. I incorrectly announced it as Trouble in My Mind. Well, my apologies, Ty. I did announce the title incorrectly. It is indeed Trouble in Mind. Thanks for helping me straighten that out. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album chart. Today's 5-man band from Champaign, Illinois has certainly done that. And, over time, they also had success on the singles charts, placing 2 power ballads into the number 1 position and even charting 4 hit singles off of 1 album that, separate from the sales of each single, sold 10 million copies. By now, most of you will guess that I'm talking about REO Speedwagon. And you are correct. But did you know that one of their most popular songs, Time for Me to Fly, was released twice and failed to make the top 40 on Billboard, Cashbox, or Record World both times? In 1978, it peaked at number 56 on the Billboard Hot 100. When it was re-released in 1980, it peaked on the same chart at number 77. Well, it sounds like a number 6 hit to us, so here's REO Speedwagon.
I've been around for you, been up and down for you, but I just can't get any relief. I've swallowed my pride for you, lived a life for you, but you still make me feel like a thief. You got me stealing your love away, 'cause you never give it. Peeling the years away, and we can't relive it. Oh, I make you laugh, and you make me cry. I believe it's time for me to fly. You said that you had no doubt that deep down we were really in love. Oh, but I'm tired of holding on to a feeling I know is gone. I do believe that I've had enough. I've had enough of the falseness of a one-off relation. Enough of the jealousy and the intoleration. Oh, I make you laugh, and you make me cry. I believe it's time for me to fly.
Time for me to fly.
Fly. Don't you know it's time for me to fly?
of time.
With our bonus hit at number 6, that was REO Speedwagon and Time for Me to Fly. My name is John McMullen, and you are listening to Alt Universe Top 40. Now, at number 5, we have the third of the three rock acts signed to the Stax subsidiary, Ardent Records. Cargo, spelled with an E after the O, was a four-man rock group originally formed in Tulsa as Rubbery Cargo. Following a move to Memphis that was made in order to work with producer Dan Penn, the band instead wound up at the Ardent label and studio when their release arrangements with Penn's label Beautiful Records stopped short of a full album. The single Feel All Right was released by Ardent in the summer of 1972 and hovered in the mid-90s on the Record World Singles Chart and on the Cashbox Survey. Unfortunately, just as the band began a West Coast tour in 1972, the newly implemented Stax distribution agreement with Columbia Records allowed Columbia to pick and choose which Stax-associated product it wanted to distribute. Cargo was not included in that arrangement. This was incredibly unfortunate because 131 radio stations in 31 states across the U.S. played the song that we are getting ready to play. With the single and the album simply not being distributed, there were no sales figures to add to the airplay reports. Nevertheless, the single on airplay alone charted thanks to major support from KWHN-FM in Fort Smith, Arkansas, KSAN San Francisco, KNAC in Long Beach, and KSHE-FM in St. Louis. Yet another track produced by Terry Manning. That was Cargo with a song that sounds like a top 5 hit and should have reached number 5, Feel All Right.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 4.
Now we are up to number 4, which means we are going to play a song that did considerably better in England than it did in the United States. Today's selection peaked at number 3 in England. British critic Ian Birch of Smash Hits magazine described this song as, quote, a nifty mover with plenty of interesting details, close quote. The single only reached number 37 on the Billboard Hot 100 in the United States, even though it received heavy airplay on MTV and on Tastemaker FM stations such as KIQQ in Los Angeles and WHYI in Miami. Written by Nick Hayward and produced by Bob Sargent, here is the Arista Recording Act Haircut 100 with Love Plus One. From their quirky new wave album Pelican West, that was Haircut 100 with Love Plus One.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we are up to our number 3 from way downtown. And today we're talking about, once again, downtown Minneapolis, Minnesota. The new wave band, The Suburbs, emerged from Minneapolis basement gigs and worked their way up to respected punk venue, Jay's Longhorn Bar. They also played at the club made famous by Prince, First Avenue. After packing those clubs, The Suburbs turned to producer Steven Greenberg, who had written and produced one of the last breakout disco hits for his studio band, Lips Inc. Greenberg hooked them up with Polygram and produced this title track for their album, Love is the Law. We think that it should have, at the very least, reached number 3 on Billboard and Cashbox both.
There on the
with our number three from way downtown. Those were the Suburbs and Love is the Law.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number two.
A few moments ago, I mentioned that Tom from Central Illinois advised us by email that he liked the instrumental from the soundtrack of the Number Station that we played last week. He suggested that we play more instrumentals in the future. Well, today at number two, with a song that we believe should have reached number one, we do indeed have an instrumental. It is by a keyboard player that was so universally respected and loved that both the Beatles and the Rolling Stones deferred to his judgment for all things related to keyboards. And, in addition to his instrumental work, this artist was certainly capable of singing, as he did have two number one singles, both of which featured his vocals and keyboards. But it is this track which displays his unbelievable musicianship in the area of Hammond organ, clavinet, wah-wah pedal, and synthesizer. This song launched itself all the way up to number two, but it should have hit number one. Here is the incomparable Billy Preston and Out of Space. Coming in at number two with a song that we think should have hit number one, that was George Harrison's friend Billy Preston and his instrumental that was tearing up the charts but only made it up to number two, Out of Space. Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track, which did, in fact, reach number one during the summer of 1973. In the process of hitting number one, this record knocked a record by Paul McCartney and Wings out of the number one spot. Of course, every time McCartney has hit number one, somebody has, inevitably, had the honor of knocking him out of that number one position. However, on this particular occasion, the recording act that knocked McCartney and Wings out of the number one position was none other than Apple label mate and former bandmate George Harrison. And, just as it should be, each of the number one songs by those two respective ex-Beatles sounded very much like the music each of them had written a few years before for the group. The song by McCartney and Wings that was knocked out of the number one position was My Love, a highly orchestrated and very well produced melodic love song, a longtime specialty from the McCartney songbook. The Harrison song that toppled My Love from number one was a funky acoustic Dylan-like song with George's overdubbed slide guitar parts for the lead and a lazy Jim Keltner beat on drums. The lyrics were, as George described them, quote, a prayer and personal statement between me, the Lord, and whoever likes it, close quote. It could not have been more of a George Harrison song.
Give me love.
The song that knocked Paul McCartney's My Love out of the number one position. That was George Harrison and Give Me Love. Incidentally, the song that knocked George's Give Me Love out of the number one slot was by George's good friend, Billy Preston, who we just heard a few moments ago. By the time that Billy hit number one with Will It Go Round in Circles, he was no longer recording for the Apple label, though, and had actually moved over to A&M Records. But for that one particular week, an ex-Apple artist knocked an Apple artist out of number one who had himself knocked an Apple artist out of the number one position. Interesting. Well, that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.